Rise and shine, St. Louis. It's the Ryan Kelly Morning After with Tim McKernan, Jimmy the Cat Hayes, and Doug Vaughn. It's time to start your day off right. Now here's Tim, Jim, and Doug, live from the Gateway Buick GMC Studios on 590 The Fan, 105.7 HD2 FM, and InsideSTL.com.
7:06 in St. Louis. You're listening to the Ryan Kelly Morning After on 590 The Fan KFNS, 105.7 HD2 FM, and InsideSTL.com. Live from the Gateway Buick GMC Studios. I think I'm going to include that pause in 2018. I think it'll help ratings.
Very dramatic, I'll say that much.
Today on the Four Seasons Penske Truck Log, Kelly Chase and TJ Moe, Doug.
All right. Talk about the Blues loss and the Tigers loss.
Yikes.
Not a real good night of television viewing.
What makes you say that?
Well, they both got beat. They both got whooped.
855-282-8255. 855-282-8255. That's how you can be involved. Plus, producer Joe has more on Doug and his fantasy payments.
Wow.
And I think this is essentially going to be like Colonel Nathan Jessup. And what was Tom Cruise's character's name?
Lily. They called him Lily.
I didn't know they called him Lily. It's misunderstood.
I sent Joe a picture of my credit card statements showing I paid $104 on, what's ninth month, September 1st.
And it seemed like hard evidence until you examined it, Tim. And you know, by genetic DNA, I'm litigious.
I don't understand what that
means.
And
he showed me, and it seemed... But it seemed that that payment went to something called cuteboots.com. It wasn't for fantasy football.
Fan
you
ball.
Bought yourself some sleds.
It's quite obvious at this point someone is being lied to.
Someone is being lied to.
So we'll get into that as well. I mean, what we have here is a smorgasbord, and that's exciting. Plus the Hot Shots email of the day. Misty Plops, Bill Pullman, and Tunnels 12,000 all have 3 wins with 2 shows left in 2017. So December is still up for snatch grabs. That's what they're saying. It's up for snatch grabs. And a lot of people are enjoying, this might be their final work day of the year. The summer off as it is. Enjoy yourself a Bud Select and settle in at 7:08 in St. Louis with a little bit of nectar. Why don't you? And enjoy this radio program because we'll keep you warm with our takes.
I write down my hot takes. In fact, someone writes them for me.
Right.
And I got it a little because I was prepared to scream at the Blues for not having any offense, and I was going to put the blame on Josh Heupel's shoulders.
I don't understand, because Heupel's the offensive coordinator for Missouri, who's now the head coach at UCF.
I think I slated the hot takes incorrectly somehow.
Well, it happens to the best of them. We'll start with Missouri. I'm thrilled to see how many people are actually paying attention to the Texas Bowl. When Missouri played there 8 years ago, I don't really recall anybody, well, not anybody, but a handful of people paying attention. I think it was an afternoon game against Navy. On this one, I guess just because there isn't much going on and this is kind of it for football for 9 months, a lot of people seem to be watching it. I was all over Missouri. I was all over Missouri, continuing the magic that has been me picking football games inaccurately in 2017. And so when I try to play it back and go, where did I go wrong? I suppose I undervalued the gentleman the Cat blamed for the Blues loss to Nashville last night, who I don't know how that's relevant,
but
I know you have a thesis, and that's not having an offensive coordinator for a month, not having an offensive line coach for a month, as both Heupel and Glenn Ellerbe went to UCF. And then defensive end Marcel Frazier held both of them accountable in his post-game comments for leaving, which I thought a lot of coaches do anyway. I don't think they were really outliers, but we'll get into that. I gather, based on what the broadcasters, fascinating broadcast team, doing their one game of the year, we're talking about Tom Herman. He was really locked in on this. I try to handicap when I bet on bowls who's motivated. I figured Missouri would be super motivated. And I figured Texas couldn't care any less about a bowl of this caliber. Was wrong on that one. And then I didn't factor in that the greatest punter in the history of mankind was playing on the other team. And how much of an impact that can... It's the first time a punter has been named the MVP of a bowl since 2008.
In fact, he's leaving early to go to the NFL.
He's an Aussie. They did,
just like Brad Wing.
They dominated field position solely based on the punter. I mean...
Oh, Michael Dixon.
He's an Aussie.
has the ability to punt from anywhere on the field and put it at the 2-yard line.
Every time.
Every time.
So, man, I'm telling you, I did not see that coming last night. And this is coming from, and I don't, because I'm not really a loyal listener of 101. It's nothing against 101. I don't know if there are people over there who have been, I don't know if necessarily critical, but popping the balloons at the balloon party of the Missouri 6-game winning streak over, I believe, the 6 worst opponents consecutively played in Missouri football history. But it seems like in St. Louis anyway, there's like a media celebration of what I thought was overstated, which is this Missouri winning streak. That's not their fault. Their opponents were horrible, but it then overstated what had actually gone on in 2017. And perhaps I got caught up in it and overlooked, you know, or gave Missouri more credit than they deserved. Again, my logic was Texas won't care. Missouri will. And Missouri will, and they'll put Drew Locke on display and throw the ball over the place. And they didn't do that. Now, Locke's comments in Dave Matter's story in the St. Louis Post-Dispatch this morning said a lot of people will be critical of the interim offensive coordinator, or just the gentleman who was calling the plays last night. For the first time in his career, he was coaching in high school, Doug, 3 years ago. Last night, he was calling plays in a bowl game against Texas.
Right.
But as Locke also says, when you're inside your 5 or 10 yard line, you're down to about 5 or 10 plays that you can call. You can't just drop back and start throwing the ball down the field. And unfortunately for Missouri, that's where they were. I don't think they got to Texas territory until like about 10 minutes left in the second quarter. The Missouri defense, which allowed 45 points, if I'm not mistaken, to Arkansas a month ago, was actually pretty damn good after the first drive, which was quite surprising. And they were in that game. A play that'll fly under the radar, again, because we watched the punting display of the millennium, was the snap when Missouri was inside their 5, as they were most of the evening, from Tristan Castillo, that just shot over Drew Locke's head and was a safety. And Missouri had cut the lead to 5 at that point, and that was a safety and made it a 7-point game. I thought the late hit on AC, on whichever Texas quarterback was in at that time. They had the Stanley Jackson, Joe Germain system going last night.
I didn't think that was blatant.
I thought it was a crappy call. But
I understand you can't even mess with it at that point in the game, but he was just following through and gave him a little shove.
Yeah, that was a crappy call. But with that all said, you know, for Missouri to not be able to move the football against Texas, that was, you know, first off, a tip of the cap to Texas's defense, but also really disappointing for Missouri. Two other things from a coaching standpoint that stand out to me. I think the thing that is the bright, shiny object, and once again, as I pay homage to Joe Strauss 2 years and 1 day since he passed, because he would maybe set some of this straight. On Twitter, I see everybody is outraged over Tom Herman mocking Drew Locke, who did some kind of display after they threw a touchdown pass in the first play from scrimmage in the second half, which as that was going on, I was thinking to myself, you're down by, 10 points, and what are you doing?
Was that little thing, he's like spreading his collar
right,
or something? Yeah, I thought that
in the moment, didn't really think it would, I didn't think Texas would notice it. I clearly Texas did notice it, because then they ran like a misdirection reverse in the final minute and a half to put another touchdown on the board, and they all did that, including Tom Herman. Mm-hmm. So the in vogue thing to say is, well, it's one thing if the kids do it, but it's not classy if the coach does it. Was it classy when Drew Locke did it? I'm trying to figure out where the bar is, because it seems that was classy.
Yeah. Okay.
When the cornerbacks were running their mouth earlier, there was a lot on Twitter about the cornerbacks being loud mouths and talking crap, and that was condemned. Drew Locke did it. Nobody said anything about him. Again, I'm trying to figure out where the bar is. But with that said,
and before the game, Mizzou also did the Longhorn down symbol. They had some guys doing that on the field.
But like I said, they weren't mocking that. They were mocking the Drew Locke thing. That's the Herman element. The Odom element from is this. I figured the Barry Odom, I hope it doesn't happen, because that means Missouri will have had some success. But starting, I think it's September 15th, they have at Purdue, which really shouldn't be a big deal, but when Purdue comes to your home and beats the hell out of you, at Purdue actually has some relevance. At Purdue, at home against Georgia, at South Carolina, at Alabama, at home against Memphis. Memphis, while a punchline in the past, a damn good team this year. At home against Kentucky, and then at Florida. If Missouri wins four of those games, I'm excited. And that's a seven-game stretch there. Now, I feel that many Missouri fans, especially based on, holy crap, the immediate bailing on the operation from so many last night, will not be real happy if they go 4-3 in that seven-game stretch. It's a tough seven-game stretch. Suppose the most realistic ones, you would go, okay, well, you would think Purdue, you would think Kentucky, and you would think Memphis, and maybe Florida isn't right, but do you think you're going to win in Tuscaloosa? Do you think you're going to beat Georgia? And then, it's tough to handicap what you have with South Carolina and Columbia East. Point being, Barry Odom's equity that came with the six-game winning streak.
Turnaround.
Thank you. Evaporated. By halftime of the Texas Bowl for many fans, which was surprising to me. Now, again, I'm confused by how one can be chastised for contextualizing the six-game winning streak by pointing out it's the six worst opponents in a row Missouri has played that I can recall in my lifetime. And therefore, that's the real byproduct of what happened. You still credit the program for turning around after where it was after losing to Auburn in the manner that it did, but that doesn't necessarily mean that suddenly you have something that's SEC championship, caliber in Columbia. So that looking at that for looking down the road, the point being, Odom hasn't necessarily ingratiated himself to the fan base. As it quickly slipped away, even through one half of the bowl game last night.
I read, and I don't know if you want to get to this now, but about Heupel not being there. I don't know if you read the quote.
It was
from
defensive end Marcel Frazier.
He said this: realistically, Heupel left us in a bad position. He said of the coach who took the head coaching job at Central Florida, "It is what it is." And offensive line coach Ellerby left us in a bad position. As men, they have to look in the mirror. They let a whole bunch of teenage boys down, 18 and 19-year-olds. They left, and they have to do what's best for their family, but I think it showed up a little bit today. We were doing things on offense we haven't done since maybe the Auburn game. It showed up. We practiced almost a whole month without an O coordinator and an O-line coach.
Well, that's got to be on the head coach then. I mean, this happens all the time in college football.
That's what I thought. That's why
a month to prepare, and that's the game plan you come up with is a run up the middle, a run up the middle, a short pass, a run up the middle, a run up the middle. That's horrible.
For what Ellerby and Heupel did, I mean, isn't that more common than not? Like I thought he cited in there the cat. Maybe I just missed it. But the Scott Frost sticking around to coach UCF in their bowl game. Now, UCF playing in a New Year's Six game is an outlier for UCF, so he's going to stick around, and then he'll head to Lincoln to begin, I'm sure he's already doing it, but to then fully take over Nebraska. So, I mean, coaches leave and don't coach bowl games all the time. Yesterday afternoon, Florida State had their defensive coordinator, defensive line coach, filling in before Willie Taggart took over, as Jimbo Fisher's already at Texas A&M. So I was surprised to hear that. And I have to tell you, I mean, it kind of strikes me as an excuse.
Yeah, I think it's awful when coaches, I get it. I think it's awful when coaches don't finish what they started. And Frazier did point out
that. And I'd be curious if Barry Odom wanted Heupel around. That's the other thing. I mean, a lot of times coaches want, if you're going to leave, God bless, totally understand. It's a head coaching opportunity at a school that's undefeated and playing in a much better bowl than Missouri's playing in. But we don't want him around potentially recruiting guys to transfer and then go to UCF. So I think it almost would have been odd if Heupel had stuck around.
Yeah, I know.
So that's why I'm curious. TJ Mobley with it at 9, I'll see what he has to say on it.
He said, pointed out that some coaches stick around. I don't understand the politics of it. I don't think that's the reason that they lost the game, and I agree. If they weren't prepared with so much time, I mean, when was the last time they played a game? They had nothing but time. And they weren't prepared. That falls on the head coach.
I couldn't believe what I was watching with the play calling in the first half. The one thing Missouri does as well or better than any team in the country is throw the ball deep. That's what they've got. That's how they scored 45 or more points six games in a row. I know they were bad teams. Still a lot of points to put up against anybody 6 weeks in a row. That's their play. The first play of the second half, that's their play. That's what they do.
That was a great throw, too.
Yeah, and if you're backed up deep in your own territory, I know it feels safe to run a running play up the middle three times in a row. Well, what's that going to get you? It gets you nothing. That's the time I think you can drop back and throw the ball 60 yards in the air. If it gets intercepted, oh well, it's a good punt. That's not who they were. They changed their offense last night. The Texas defense got something to do about that, but the play calling was unlike anything we saw this whole second half of the season.
If you're a dominant passing attack and you turn your back on that, there's something not quite right about that. I agree.
Your thoughts are welcome. 855-282-8255. 855-282-8255. It spells Cub Talk. 855-Cub Talk. That's how you can get involved in the Ryan Kelly Morning After. On the appliance discounter phone lines. Doug, can you tell the audience about the STL tax lawyer?
Oh, well, sure. The people who want to hear about him are those that might have some IRS problems. Getting right here at the end of the year, people starting to think about, I wonder if I'm okay with taxes. A lot of people aren't okay, all right? And these are the very people I'm speaking to right now who need to get in touch with a fella by the name of Mark Milton. He's a former Department of Justice Tax Division attorney. He's at STLTaxLawyer.com, and he can get you taken care of if you have any problems at all. If you're sideways with the IRS, maybe years of unfiled tax returns keeping you up at night. You're facing tax liens, bank levies, wage garnishments, any kind of IRS problems. Mark Milton can guide you through them. Mark Milton and STLTaxLawyer.com provide a local and holistic approach to tax resolution. Don't be sucked into the out-of-town tax resolution groups you hear on TV and the radio. If you have IRS problems, I've given you the name. Here it is again. Mark Milton, former Department of Justice Tax Division attorney. His website again, STLTaxLawyer.com. Remember, the choice of a lawyer is an important decision, should not be based solely on advertisements.
Let's take a gander at the text inbox, see what the great Americans who listen to this radio program have to say. Doug, this is what happens when Mizzou plays a Power 5 team who isn't a butt-ass. Their schedule was soft. It was an embarrassment. Bwah-ha-ha-ha-ha.
Well, they don't need to laugh.
It's from Mustard Tiger.
Can you say that last line again?
Watch this. Their schedule was soft. It was an embarrassment. Bwah-ha-ha-ha-ha.
Well, it wasn't an embarrassment because they played other SEC teams. You don't have to be embarrassed because the other SEC teams are down, having a down year. It's not embarrassing to put Florida and Tennessee and teams like that on your schedule. They just happened to get fortunate that those schools were down.
And I do think, in context, I could see people getting... I don't think people are like, Missouri's the best team in the nation... But considering where they were, context, mm-hmm. where they couldn't win a game, and then they strung together some wins with a passing attack that seemed to be coming together, I can mm-hmm. understand, you know, people changing their view on Missouri. But I'm not so sure everyone was going to say that they would have been national champions if they had a do-over.
No one's saying that.
But I do think there were a ton of people watching that game. Watching that game last night. Just the Blues were on, so you flipped around watching Missouri too. It was nothing else on. I think they had a lot of people, and that was sort of a dud.
And I do think a lot of people bet on Missouri, too. I know I was one. But it also just was disappointing because it wasn't what you had seen. Even when they lost to Georgia and Kentucky, they did throw the ball downfield. And then you see them come out after halftime, and the first play they run is a successful touchdown pass, 80 yards, 79 yards, right out of the gate. Let's see. Daddy Padre, Doug. He's the Blues' backup goaltender?
Yeah.
He's an up-and-comer. He's going to get... probably going to get more ice time.
I want to see Bortuzzo in the net before him.
He says, it's almost like they played a game that mattered. Let's focus on that anemic Blues offense, eh, boys? Is that going to play well in the room for a guy to be texting into a hack radio show, chastising the team's offense for which he netmines?
Well, right. This is his...
Patrick Waugh did that in 1989... with L'Habitant, and he texted into a sports talk radio show.
If I could...
Well before the text. That's what made it so interesting.
If I could speak on behalf of Tyler, who's almost become like a godson to me, just based on what he's done, you know, his accomplishments, I think that's just his text persona. That's Daddy Padre. That's not Tyler, the backup goalie.
I see.
Yeah.
Guys, Missouri lost by more points to Texas than Kansas. Hashtag think about it. That's from the Wandering Knuckle.
Where would a knuckle wander?
Put that off. Doug, why do you hate Missouri? Thanks. That's from the 618.
I don't hate Missouri. I like Missouri. I'm frustrated to see him play like that.
Texas had nothing offensively. Nothing.
No.
They had nothing. They had absolutely nothing.
And I do think that performance kind of threw a a cloud over the whole second half of the season. You watch him play like that, and you think, well, maybe there wasn't anything to that.
It's Heupel's fault. Comeback.
Yeah, I think that's a fair point. And again, it's because when it gets down to it, had they won, I probably would have been on my own little island again saying, yeah, it's a Texas Bowl. So I can't go, oh, they lost, so now I'm going to make a big deal out of it. I just don't get that worked up over the vast majority of bowl games. I also realize a lot of people do. For me, I don't. I don't know which game I was watching. I just bet on them, which is essentially flipping a coin unless you really truly can figure out who is interested in being there and who is not. Like Utah, for whatever reason, that coach gets them ready to play bowl games. I think he's 11-1 in bowl games at Utah, and West Virginia didn't have their didn't have Greer, and so you took advantage of that, and that was kind of an easy play. But sometimes you're wrong, such as Missouri and Texas. So there was during the broadcast, maybe it was Florida State Southern Miss yesterday, or it was Iowa Boston College, whatever. I think it was either Mack Brown or Booger McFarland who said, you know, this whole thing of judging conferences based on what happens in bowl season, I really disagree with it, because you have a number of players who know they're going to the pros who sit out. You have a number of players who are kind of not sure what their health is and don't want to risk it because they're playing at Yankee Stadium at 4 o'clock and it's a 2-degree day. Now, people might not like that, but it is their livelihoods. It might be their best shot to make a hell of a living. And so they're not going to play against Boston College or Iowa. And people might like it. Again, I'm not saying it's right or wrong, but I'm saying when you're trying to handicap a game and B, conference versus conference, I think this gets overstated. And you have people who hang out on Twitter in the week between Christmas and New Year's and argue with strangers over it. So with that all said, I'm not going to go, oh, Missouri season was great if they beat Texas, or Missouri season was bad because they lost to Texas. You have 12 other games to analyze, not just the one where you didn't have your offensive coordinator, to a lesser extent, your offensive line coach. What, again, really stood out to me was how quickly a lot of people who had been so excited about what Missouri had done dating back to the winning streak that began with Idaho, continued through Stores, Connecticut, and then against four teams, all of which have changed their coaches, minus the one at Vanderbilt that rarely changes their coaches since then, is the fact that so many people turned on Odom. And I thought, even if they lost this game, which I really didn't think was going to happen, even if they lost this game, there'd be more focus on, wow, they turned it around, and then Odom would experience criticism in the middle of next year when you don't have Idaho, UConn, and four teams that either did or should change coaches in a row, and you have Purdue, Georgia, South Carolina, Alabama, Memphis, Kentucky, and Florida. That's when you actually are going to be playing some teams that will be championship caliber teams, and most of which will likely be going to bowls, which, again, doesn't really all mean that much, but it means they'll have winning records. Missouri didn't beat a team with a winning record. They were 0-6 against teams with winning records this year, 7-0 against teams with losing records. And that is the thing that surprised me, because I thought Odom had won over a lot of people. And I guess, Doug, it's not necessarily the fact that they lost. It was the manner with which they lost that really turned people off. It was sloppy from the get-go. I think they were penalized on half of the plays that Texas led down the field for their opening drive touchdown. And then the offensive play calling made it even more frustrating, I think, for Missouri fans. I think it's one thing if they kind of played their game and then they lost like 42-41, but to lose in that manner made it all the more infuriating.
Yeah, that would have been a whole different thing if it had been a shootout and they just came up short at the end, but play their typical game. That would have been a whole different thing. They just didn't look like they were very well prepared. First drive, they throw to Daniel Young. He's standing wide open. Nobody covering the Texas running back at all. It was way too easy. And the fact that they just didn't run their normal offense that we've been used to seeing, that's what was so frustrating.
Well, when you're playing in the Texas Bowl, there's going to be jitters. I mean, it's a Texas Bowl.
Well,
and you're facing a Texas team that went 6-6, so there's going to be nerves.
Well, I think there probably are nerves. I mean, to us, we can laugh it off like it's a meaningless bowl game, but to them, that's what they got. That's what they've been playing for.
I would agree with that, and it's the Texas Bowl, and I'm sure there's nerves for every game, but I don't think more so for the Texas Bowl. The question I had, there were a lot of drops, too, by Missouri receivers. You pointed out to one of them. The thing that I wonder about does this game impact at all Drew Lock's status, you know, for the draft? Because that's the thing that's concerned. I would like to see that guy come back and play in Missouri. He had that one touchdown pass that was brilliant.
He was
Did he do enough to move the needle at all?
He said it didn't matter at all. He said if we'd have scored 150 points, it wouldn't have affected my decision. And if we got shut out, it wouldn't have affected my decision.
But I wonder about the folks that analyze those sort of things and could impact his status and where he goes.
I don't know that you could have looked at his performance last night and said, yeah, let's take him in the first or second, third round and be our quarterback. I don't think you would have come to that conclusion. Now, obviously, you're going to judge him on more than one game, but he makes some bad decisions on where to throw. He throws into heavy coverage a lot. He doesn't have much touch on the short passes. Throws a great deep ball. He's got all the potential in the world, but he's still got a lot of work to do, I think.
And that bad snap seemed like it took him totally by surprise, too. I mean, it was a bad snap. There's no question. He knocked it out of the end zone, and he seemed totally befuddled by that.
Here is Barry Odom following the game. Doug, he explains why, in his opinion, Missouri had the performance it had and lost to Texas.
Hit the lever, Plowsy.
You can't walk away from an evenly matched game and be minus four in the turnover margin and want to, you know, have a chance to win a game. And, well, that's not the only reason tonight. Texas is a good football team. They're well coached. But also, I think we're a pretty good football team, too. We had some opportunities, but you turn it over four times, you know, gave up a couple of explosive plays defensively, really couldn't get anything going in the run game. That kind of puts the game in the result that we got. It's kind of the recipe for getting beat like we did. So we'll get a lot of guys back on both sides of the ball. And we use this as a learning tool and motivation, and just like we will the other 12 games we played this year.
Sounds like he's in space.
Yeah, I agree.
Our program and build our team. Got a lot of exciting things happening.
He's either underwater or he's in space.
You should have heard the Drew Lock sound outside of the locker room. It was unusable content.
Was it?
It was. I mean, he said some good stuff, and there were some good questions asked by Gabe. But
Colonel,
I mean, they were outside of the locker room in this. You know, there's the echoes, and there were players walking by, back and forth, talking. You could not understand.
You know
why
the guy who usually gets the audio that they post went with Heupel and wasn't there.
Probably.
So we got bad.
But Odom was at a podium.
At least the mic holder would have stuck around.
Odom was inside at a podium, it looked like. I don't know why.
I don't know either. Boy. Boy, that's a kick in the teeth. Boy, that loss.
Losing that
right
Texas
there.
Bowl.
Well, I was excited to watch the game. I know it's meaningless.
No,
it doesn't matter.
Too.
They're not going to be ranked.
I thought I was going to ship my role. Instead, my role got shipped.
I just kind of wanted to. I was kind of excited where they were heading. I was thinking they were going to go and beat up on Texas, and I'd be excited for next season. Plus, I hate Texas because they're largely responsible for Mizzou bailing out of the Big 12.
Yeah, but it's great that they're not in the Big 12.
It worked out, I can't stand Texas.
I don't think from what actually takes place on the field perspective, what took place last night in Houston will have anything to do with what takes place in September 2018. I do think, however, that the perception of Barry Odom and the equity he had with the Missouri fan base took a hit last night.
I agree with that. You
know.
Tyler had a sleepover last night, and they're watching me watch the game as they're playing whatever, and I can't remember if it was his buddy or Tyler, but one of them said, "Is this game important?"
Then how'd you answer that?
Yes, son.
If Jameson would have asked me, I said, no, but your dad has a few $100 on it, so yes.
And then one of them said, what's a bowl game? And I go, how do you describe
it's an exhibition game played in a warmer climate, so guys with some disposable income can get away from their wives for a few days to celebrate the school they went to 40 years ago and then go on a message board and attack 18-year-olds. Any other questions, son?
Right.
Championship game, 42.
It's hard to explain.
That's a lot of games. It really is.
It's a lot of games. I know it's a lot.
It's hard to explain what a bowl game is that doesn't have any real meaning except that it's a revenue producer.
Two-thirds
and a
of the
nice
teams get to play
kids.
One more
yeah.
game after the season. I felt bad for Iowa and Boston College having to play that game in New York. What fun is that?
I had the over, live bet the over, 55 and a half, so that was another hit to the roll.
They were wearing tennis shoes.
Yes, because they were sliding around the grass.
Doesn't that kind of defeat the purpose? Who wants to go play a freezing cold weather bowl game?
Yeah, but you're in the Bronx.
Who cares? It was freezing there. There weren't many fans there.
The cat is Staten Island going to get a bowl? I believe they're at least in the mix.
Yeah. It's going to be the Tavana Tea Bowl.
Oh, wow.
Is there not one more stadium in Florida or California that could have hosted that game?
What's wrong with the frozen tundra?
It's no fun to play football.
You play on
in
the
frozen
that's
weather.
Where football belongs.
No, it isn't.
On the frozen tundra.
You don't play much of the season on the frozen. You play most of the season in absolutely perfect weather. And then when you're going to play a bowl game in horrible weather, that's one of the difficult things about the...
Tell it to Ray Nitschke.
That's something about... There's nothing to do about it, but it's kind of a quirk in the NFL season, too, is you play all season, and the weather's almost perfect, and then you decide to... Championships, and oftentimes you're playing in
horrendous
weather. Oh,
baseball's the worst.
Shout at the baseball season.
Yeah.
Plowhawk, you don't happen to have any audio in which Barry Odom was asked about the Texas punter, do you?
Yeah, I do.
Oh, wow. Doug, you want to take a... See if it's our space.
You were pinned back multiple times tonight, especially in the second half. Have you seen a punter impact a game like that before?
Nope.
Okay. Well,
that's a tribute to Lance Lynn, I think.
Yeah. Well, it's true. This guy can punt it anywhere on the field and put it down at the 1 yard line.
That was unbelievable. It was unreal. Now, you have to give credit also to Texas's. Punt coverage team, because a few times it was about to bounce into the end zone and they'd get down there.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, Fatone, who's like Missouri's, you know, one of his top players, at least that was the theme in September when they were getting worked over by South Carolina, Purdue, and Auburn, he did not have a particularly good game.
No.
Both punting and holding extra points.
Right. Well, it happens to the kids. Bless their hearts. Maybe we'll do some better recruiting.
Daddy Padre, big boy.
Yeah, there's your backup goaltender who just criticized the Blues' anemic offense.
No. Tim, I think I was clear about that. That was his Tex persona. It's much different.
Same guy.
Yep.
Same guy. How's he going to show his face in that locker room?
I honestly was disappointed because I had time. I was going to enjoy watching Locke play. Like, that's why I was like, I don't care. I'm not as – I want Missouri to win. I'm not as, you know, dedicated as you guys are because you went there. But I was excited to see this guy who had really made major strides do his thing. He became really the talk of college football.
Yeah, he's an exciting guy to watch. He seems like a great guy. I've interviewed him a couple times. Smart kid, nice guy. I think he's going to be a pretty good NFL quarterback. I wanted to see him light it up last night, too. But I'm not sure his coaches allowed him to do that.
Missouri.
Guys, Mizzou has nothing to hold their heads for except they didn't have their coordinator and they gave this game away to a punter. Thanks. Mm-hmm. Doug Daddy Padre's back. That's the Blues' backup netminder.
Right. Have nothing to hold their heads down for except they didn't play that well and they gave away this World Series.
When hot takes go wrong. Happens to the best of them.
Yes, it does.
Doug, now we've covered this Missouri Texas Bowl. And don't get me wrong, we'll get back into it.
Okay.
As we take a look at the offensive line play against Texas's defensive line and the blitz up the middle they ran every play. Mm-hmm. And we'll get into that in the 8 o'clock hour. TJ Moe will be with us in the 9 o'clock hour. But let's get to what I know Bernie's talking about right now and Charlie Brennan's talking about right now. And that is whether or not you paid for the Fantasy Football League.
I took a screenshot of my credit card statement showing right there on February 1st, Fanball, $104.
Now, we made the payment, though, in August. So you got ahead of it, though, by 6 months?
No. It went through on the credit card on 9/1.
Did you do a little underlining, too?
I did.
I like that.
I like that, too. It drives home the point.
It almost seems like it's legit and that you didn't go to fakebanktransactions.com to cover
There's
your
There's a site that does it?
I don't think they do.
Some people have an organization that might be partners in that.
Oh, you guys.
A little like seed a money to.
DBA?
A little CBA. Just seed money. It's
I don't know who took all these Uber trips on my credit card.
John Vaughn.
I guess it was probably Greg Vaughn.
They use your credit card for Uber?
Well, apparently he did, yes. Apparently he did. Yes, in fact, he did. How much that cost me? $16? Eh, not too bad.
Well, that's a nice cover story, too. You pretend to scroll through and go, look at these Uber charges from my son. You put a little misdirection in there to make it seem legit. I like that.
Well, you can look at it, too. I know you think I'm lying to you as well.
You know I don't.
All
you know
I do
believe
is lie
you.
About little you payments
that I make.
You know I
believe you. But what would you say if our cases were reversed and I was being accused of not paying and I showed you a document, you'd say, oh, fake document. You would say that.
Okay, I'm sure it's a fake document. I typed all this up.
Oh, did you really?
Just to fake it, yeah.
Ow. That's elaborate. That's an elaborate ruse.
I work harder to fake it than it would take to
would you believe me
if
I showed you that, you'd believe me. I do believe you, for the record. Mm-hmm. I believed you when you said you paid it in the beginning. It's just funny.
Well, we have the defendant. Now we welcome the plaintiff to the courtroom. Ladies and gentlemen, Commissioner Producer Joe. Hello, Producer Joe.
Hello. How are you, gentlemen, this morning?
Wonderful. Now, you texted me last night. I don't know what the hell this is. I don't know why I don't have the... Well, whatever. You texted me that there were more developments on the fantasy football payment saga. What's going on?
There was. So yesterday afternoon, Douglas Elvin Vaughn sent me a screenshot of what appeared to be a Microsoft Word document that had some...
It's all phony. Made it all up. I've got that kind of time.
Well, I asked you... Here's the one thing. So Doug sent that to me. And I was going to reach out to League Safe, and I did reach out to League Safe, and I had texted Doug back asking him for the transaction ID that you get. So, like, I searched my email for League Safe, and there was the showing that I paid $104, and there was a transaction ID. Doug never provided me with the transaction ID, but the good folks at League Safe emailed me yesterday, and I'll just read you verbatim what the good folks at League Safe had to say.
All right.
Hi, Joe. Your owner claimed the transaction is fraudulent with his credit card company, and the credit card company reversed the transaction.
Oh.
Please note that we did not do this. We had the funds taken from our account, which in turn meant the funds needed to be removed from your league. It's also worth noting that we do send notification emails to these members several times ahead of the credit card companies reversing the charges, asking them to drop the charge back. If they willfully ignore these emails, there's very little we can do, unfortunately. The credit card companies have all the power in these cases.
Someone needs to step down.
Yeah.
I never received a transaction number.
I'm going to click because there's so many big words in there, and that's just not good for this show. But let me make sure. So you're saying, Producer Joe, the people at League Safe reached out to you as commissioner of this league and said Doug contacted them and said the $104 charge was fraudulent.
No, what LeagueSafe is saying is that Doug or somebody who also has control of Doug's credit cards, whomever that happens to be, reached out to their credit card company and said that this is a fraudulent charge. The credit card company then withdrew the funds from LeagueSafe, and then LeagueSafe had to withdraw them from our league. They say that they had also sent notification emails to the members, that being Doug. Doug would have received the email from LeagueSafe letting them know that your credit card company is claiming these to be fraudulent. We are, you know, whatever, you're a part of this league. And so LeagueSafe has nothing they can do. They reverse the charges to give the money back to Doug's credit card company, and therefore the money has to be withdrawn from our league. That's why Doug showed up as not paid, although it showed that he in fact paid. So if Doug wants to look a little bit farther into his credit card statements, he'll probably see that he was refunded $104.
I've looked at the credit card statement. I don't have one of those.
How far did you look?
I looked all the way right up until last month.
Okay, well, here's the situation. I've paid everybody, Charlie Short, $100. You didn't pay, or the $100 isn't in there. I don't know what to tell you. Somehow, some way, this always tends to be,
always, yeah.
Well, I mean, you're the one who said you never paid me. And I'm like, dude, I paid you like 4 months ago. You should check your emails. And then magically, your money was there.
Can I make a suggestion? Why don't you reach out to the credit card company and ask them if they have any record of this disputed charge and
no, I have nothing to do with Doug.
No, I was asking Doug. No, this was Joe. This I love you, but
this
that
question
that was
for me.
That was for Doug to do. That way you get some clarity for your sake.
I wonder if the credit card company just saw it and said, that looks phony, and just knocked it out.
I don't know. You're the one who just said you looked at your credit card charges all the way back to then. You should have seen a credit for $104.
And I didn't. I didn't see a credit for $104.
Maybe we should let somebody with a little bit more.
I'll go through it again, but I did not. I did not see a credit. I imagine my credit card company just looked at it and said, that's not real.
Well, you sent me something yesterday that showed $104 on September 1st, which I took to mean that, yay, look, Doug did pay. So that's why I sent the email to LeagueSafe saying, hey, my guy, you know, an honorable gentleman, although not technologically savvy.
Okay, knock it off. How hard is it to make a credit card payment?
I'm asking that question, yet you're the one who is $100 short in the league.
So, as a casual observer, though, Joe, with some of these sports gambling, which is really what it is, sites or whatever, I could see that something set off a red flag to the credit card company where they may have disputed it on their own. I think that seems like that's a legitimate possibility, don't you?
I suppose. I mean, there's websites that my bank makes me do another verification that I really want to deposit money to that site. Here's what I would really suggest is that Doug opens up his email that's attached to his LeagueSafe account, whatever email account that it is that he uses for it, and look and see if there's actually emails from LeagueSafe in there saying, hey, your credit card company is calling these fraudulent charges. Because there's a good chance that Doug doesn't often check that email account because it's not his one from KMOV, and therefore he doesn't pay mind to what's going on there.
He doesn't check that one either. He's got 28,000 emails he hasn't looked at.
Right.
Like I said,
that is true, Doug. How, you know, because you do have 28,000 emails.
I got 28,318 at the moment. I get 700 or 800 a day.
If I were your defense attorney, instead of even addressing the fact that you have thousands of unopened emails, I would have tried to distract and attack someone else, maybe Josh Heupel.
You know,
he left the team in a lurch.
Maybe that'll be Kevin Demoff's defense when he finally takes the stand and says, well, I've got 28,000 emails. I didn't realize that this one was important. Here's the situation. Somebody owes Charlie $100. Doug, if you're not going to pay him, I'll pay him, and we'll just be done with it.
No, and I will go through and look to see. I'll double-check the credit card statement to see if they refunded the $104.
I will check all the email.
I'll go back and call the credit card company and do all that and see if I paid or if they're just trying to swindle me.
$100. Or call the credit card company and say, hey, here's the date of this. Did you guys dispute this? What happened? And that way you can get the full story from them as opposed to just looking through your statement.
I'm more amazed. Like you just used the word that they're trying to swindle you.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just like they're picking on you. It couldn't possibly be user error or
no. Well, I have been hacked a couple times. I have been hacked on more than one occasion.
Oh, those are the ones that like and retweet all the political tweets?
What? No, that's me.
Oh, okay.
But I have had my account hacked.
That's not a laughing matter.
No, it's not. It's just odd that it's always Doug. It's always my computer. This, I don't know. I feel bad. I hate that this is having to happen because
it's not always Doug. This is the first time I've had a payment issue on a credit card. The first time.
No, but it's the last time
I questioned it because you gave me a check on an email, which I had never had before. I know I'm the only one in the world who doesn't do all their banking over email.
I didn't give you anything. I didn't provide you a check. LeagueSafe, and honestly, I think you're the only person who takes the check method. Everybody else just takes the digital just move this into my account. Okay, no problem. The electronic payment. You're the one who asked for a check. I guess you enjoy going to the counter and getting a lollipop when you're done making a bank.
Wow. That's a shot at us old folks.
I do kind of like a check. I've had so many credit card problems that I've changed credit cards about five times because they're constantly being, the numbers have been stolen a couple times and I had my bank account hacked once. So I'm a little suspicious of it. Yeah.
Okay. I got really frustrated with my significant other over this type of thing because one, she won't use the app on her phone to be able to take a picture of a check and magically it downloads into your account. You don't have to worry about it.
I don't want to do that either.
Scott, and then she won't use an ATM to deposit a check either. So we were in a big hurry to get somewhere, and we had to drive through the bank to deposit. And I was about to pull my hair out. But it makes me feel a little bit better that there are other people out there just like her who are weary.
There are a lot of people who don't want to take a picture of their check and mail it in or trust the ATM deposit.
I do the ATM check deposit, but I am so old school that I never put direct deposit on my Fox. So I get a check and I take it to the bank like an old person just to make sure those funds are secure.
Whatever makes you comfortable. I will check, Joe. I haven't seen that I've got a refund. If I got a refund, then I owe somebody $104.
Charlie, you owe not $104, just $100. You actually saved $4 from your incompetence.
But it's fine. Oh, that was a show.
But I don't want to lose you in the league over this because
I'm out of the league. Out of the league because it angers you so much. You get so mad over it that I don't want to put you through this anymore.
That's the other side is like, I'm so just absolutely happy with life that I need a little bit of unhappiness, and I'm glad that you're able to provide that.
Well, why are you so happy?
I don't know. Things are good in my life, I guess.
What's
good,
baby? What's good? What's good in your life? Tell me about that. I want to know.
I don't know. I mean, just I'm happy.
But what makes you happy, baby? What makes you happy?
Lots of things. Drinking, gambling, hunting.
Hunting? What are you hunting?
Oh, I'm going hunting tomorrow and Saturday.
What are you killing?
What am I killing? Deer, ideally.
You in a tree stand, bro?
Probably not, because a lot of the cover's down because all the leaves have fallen, but probably a blind on the ground somewhere.
Doug, you ever been in a blind?
No.
Did you always hunt, or is this something new that you're doing?
No, back home I did. Right. This is the first year I've really hunted up here.
From where I went to college, I understand, because there were a lot of kids from the middle of the state that hunted. So I understand about actually thinning the herd, and there is actually good that comes out of it. I just don't know if I could pull the trigger on Bambi.
I can't.
But I don't know. But a day out in the woods, you know, with nothing going on except quiet and nature seems fun. Mm-hmm. I just don't know if I could close the deal personally. But I don't judge, because I understand that it provides a service to the, to the herd. You got to thin it out. I understand that.
Oh, I mean, Missouri's got a lot of deer, especially around our area. My fast pitch league, where I play the softball, we play out in Creve Coeur Park. And I kid you not, there'd be like 8 to 10 deer out in the outfield, little babies walking out behind the outfield every single game. Didn't matter. I mean, just deer all over the place.
Manchild asks a good question. He says, is hunting the ultimate cock sport?
Cock, as in like our cuck sport?
No, cock.
Cock, what's the ultimate cuck sport?
Probably tennis.
Tennis?
He had an answer, because he's always thinking about it. No, this is cock. This is Caucasian folks.
Oh, no, I don't believe so. No. I would say golf is probably that sport.
Doug, Elder's going to win the Masters in 4 months.
Well, I don't know.
Okay. That'd be like saying that country music is not just white people, because Charlie Pride is a country
music. Ah, and Darius Rucker and his wagon wheel.
Right.
Hootie.
Oh, gosh, yeah.
Well, so I mean, there's outliers to everything.
Do you see a lot of diversity in the woods?
Back in Georgia, yes. I don't necessarily know so much here.
Really? In Georgia, yeah, there's sure. like a diverse people.
Oh, group it's
of
a
people.
Melting pot out there. It's a melting. The woods are a melting pot.
I don't know. I just wouldn't call it the ultimate Caucasian sport. I'd still lean on golf, and then probably tennis and
hockey, man.
Well, PK Subban, Doug. What about him?
Freddie Brathwaite.
Okay.
So I mean, now, and it can't be hockey. So I don't know.
The hipster Tower Grove South has texted, and he says, I hear that a lot of outdoorsmen are using hunting as a cover for gay sex in the woods.
Well,
is that they are. That is the ultimate cover. Because they're like, they're going to say, whoa, who's going to go sit outside when it's sub 10 degrees? And it's like, oh, I am. but it's really we're meeting at the, you know, the days in off of 141.
Is that true? I didn't know. It's hot.
Yeah.
Very hot.
Yeah.
Producer Joe, thank you for advancing this story. I don't think any other station's covering it like we are.
No.
Well, no other station has someone who can't quite master submitting
papers. God bless America.
Hey, Joe, I'm glad everything's going well for you, and you're in a happy place. I really am.
Thanks, buddy. Hey, I hope you had a good holiday, Kat, and I hope your son is very happy and everything is great with E. And Doug, just learn how to submit a payment. Tim, I'll talk to you in a little bit.
There it is, Producer Joe. Wow.
Put him down! Too late. He's already gone. You know, that was an intriguing bit of information that Joe brought forth. That was like watching one of those 2020 segments where there's a twist. You ever see? I forget the guy who does the really good ones. Like, you think you
Keith
know what's
Morrison.
Going Keith Morrison.
Who would have thought would happen?
Right. So just when you think you know the story, he gives you a complete twist. And that's what Joe did, saying that the league said, no, this was a disputed charge. Who saw that coming? Keith Morrison was it. It's a real head scratcher.
A disputed charge? I have to look into that.
Guys, Joe's lying, bro. Ain't no brothers sitting in the woods in Jeffco. They don't mention it in the meetings. Thank you. That's from Manchild 79 giving us an update on what the African-American community is doing or not doing in the woods. They are not in the woods, per Manchild 79. Let's see. The hipster is right. My friend Matt is a professional bow hunter and is super gay. Thanks.
Professional.
Sean Mahoney's dead eye.
I didn't know they were professional bow hunters.
The Four Seasons Penske Truck Captain's Log, Kelly Chase at 8:30, brought to you by Petromart, TJ Moe at 9 o'clock. That is all coming your way in addition to the Hot Shots email of the day. Oh my, why don't you have yourself a taste at Hot Shots tonight or how about tomorrow, Doug, and enjoy the games at Hot Shots. Make Hot Shots your home for Blues hockey all season and watch all the action with the Hot Shots girls while you enjoy awesome Blues specials this year. Blues fans can enjoy daily Bud Family and Jack Daniel's specials along with Slapshot deals on Tank Tea, Colton Bombs, and Blues sampler appetizers. And don't forget, you can get dollar tacos at all Hot Shots locations the day after the Blues score 5 or more goals all season. Hot Shots is a proud partner of the St. Louis Blues and home of Blues fans for more than 25 years. Check hotshotsnet.com for more details. Dollar tacos each day after the Blues score 5 or more goals at all locations. Keep an eye on hotshotsnet.com for more information on Blues player appearances all season long. At Hot Shots, the sponsor of the Hot Shots email today, coming your way in about an hour and 45 minutes, give or take, give or take. Kelly Chase, 8:30, TJ Moe, 9 o'clock. This is the Ryan Kelly Morning.